And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories, to sing some songs, and to talk to some good people with great voices. Two Grammy Award-winning bluegrass outfits are on the show today. As it would have it, they have crossed paths before a few times out there while they've been on the road. The infamous String Dusters and the Steep Canyon Rangers. All right. Plus, three talented songwriters. Malia Rogers, Dash Hammerstein, and John Muirhead. Just wait till you hear what they've got to serve up today on the show. My name is Tom Brusseau. It's great to have you with us today. The infamous String Dusters is a Tops acoustic band of bluegrass playing greats. And Andy Falco, who sings, writes, and plays lead guitar in the group, is with us today to share his thoughts on two decades and a new album titled with this in mind, a 20-song document called 2020. Andy's also sent us in an unreleased tune called Come What May. Thank you for that, Andy. But the infamous String Dusters, they go beyond the walls of traditional bluegrass. In their music, I hear nods to the Grateful Dead and the best of the 1990s country crooners. And of course, one of the greatest songwriters of all time, Merle Haggard. Check out their Working Man Blues. It's the infamous String Dusters on the Great American Folk Show.
Himself out of the bed, he thinks about what is to come and if the day will bring him down. He'll brush his teeth and clean his face, put his hair all in his place, and then he'll head on out the door, make his way out to the town. A working man may never be left alone to live life free, keep up with the bills to pay. He'll have to work another day, wrench that nut, clean the floor, fix the hinges on the door, punch out when the day is done, and bar to find some fun.
My name is Andy Falco. I play guitar in the infamous String Dusters. The demo that I have here is a song called Come What May, which is a song I wrote with John Weisberger. I had the idea for this song, and I was playing with Travis Book in Brevard, North Carolina, where John lives as well. I was at Travis's house and had a few hours, got together with John, and we wrote it in Travis's in his kitchen, actually. And I really liked the song. I had sort of the idea for this melody and a little bit of the chorus, but you know, we were able to come up with the ideas for what the song is about, which I think is then and maybe even more now. I think, you know, sort of the idea of the song is an important one for me, which was just the idea that no matter what's going on around the world, you have to just kind of look around you and take care of your family and your friends and the people that are, you know, close to you. So that was the idea of this song. We ended up playing through this one, actually, and there are, you know, really just like iPhone recordings of the band playing through it, and it sounded cool with the band. The initial idea of this record, you know, we've been a band for 20 years, and we wanted to make a record that had 20 songs to commemorate the 20 years that we've been a band. We didn't want to just put any 20 songs. We wanted to have 20 songs that we really liked, that we thought were the best songs we could write. So we weren't really sure that we were going to be able to do it. We never did anything like that before. With this record, it was important to us that we didn't have any time constraints in the writing process, because typically what would happen would be you're planning your tours, or you want to plan your studio time when you're going to actually be going and recording, and then you can kind of estimate when you'd be done with the record, and then the management team and the agents are going to put together what will be the release tour, and so you have these things that start to go into motion, so you need to sort of follow that schedule. We didn't really want to have those constraints on this one. We wanted to just be untethered to any kind of time frame and just be able to really focus on writing the best songs that we possibly could, which we weren't sure if we were going to be able to do. We ended up with about 40 or 50 songs that we thought were, you know, mostly good enough to make an album, which was a lot for us to sort through. And once we kind of got to that point, we were able to let management and our agents know that, okay, we're onto it. And then it was just a matter of getting into the studio. We did like two or three sessions. We were still writing, you know, we finished one session and kind of start to narrow things down. And there were certain songs that, you know, that were written in the middle of the sessions because we were looking at what we had. For example, we wanted to have, you know, an a cappella style song on there, which Travis wrote Gospel 32, Let Him Move, in the middle of the sessions. Working Man Blues, that's one that I wrote that was written after the first sessions as well. We were really writing all the way through the whole process. And this is just something that we've never done before, and that was kind of what made this album unique, and we're really proud of the result. You know, as an artist, that's your goal, right, is to just feel like you are always evolving. Your latest work, you know, in a lot of ways is always, you feel like is your best, you know. So that is something that we're proud of.
I picked up the paper, headline dark and bold, hoping I might find some better news below the fold. Tossed it on the table, turned on my TV. Trouble was the only thing to see. All I need tomorrow, all I need today, gotta hold my head and come what may. All I need tomorrow, all I need today, one more song and I'll be on my way. Walk down to the river to clear my worried mind. Couldn't see the bottom for all the dirt and grime. Climbed up on the hillside to breathe out mountain air. Trouble was I couldn't find it there. All I need tomorrow, all I need today, gotta hold my head up come what may. All I need tomorrow, all I need today, one more song and I'll be on my way. Looked around me, maybe
want to weep. Then I kiss my babies and lay them down to sleep. I thought about the good life we built inside these walls. Couldn't find no trouble there at all. Singing, all I need tomorrow, all I need today. Gotta hold my head up, come with me. All I need tomorrow, all I need today. One more song and I'll be on my way. All I need tomorrow, all I need today. Gotta hold my head up, come with me. All I need tomorrow, all I need today. One more song and I'll be on my way.
You just heard an unreleased demo sent in by the infamous String Dusters, Come What May. Thanks for listening today. It's me, Tom Brusseau. This is the Great American Folk Show. Malia Rogers is a musician I'm really into, from Ottawa. She's got a clear voice, a talent on stringed instruments, and a skill with a pen. I'm highlighting the track Down the Line from the stuff that she's released recently. It's poignantly energetic. Malia Rogers.
Someone across from me is crying on the train. Oh, I don't know her problem, but I feel her pain. I catch her eyes and with my own I try to say there's something better on down the line. You see, somewhere along the last few years I lost my faith. I built a wall around my heart for its own sake. A cup of kindness brought me back and now I wait for something better on down. An old friend in this last year. He is dispersed now, he is the atmosphere. But through the trees, I hear him whisper in my ear, there's something better on down the line. So if the weight of it is all too much to bear, you're too burnt out to summon what it takes. Might not see it yet, but I promise you it's there.
This is a song about grief, but in being a song about grief, it is also necessarily a song about love. So I want to tell you a love story. My name is Malia Rogers. I'm a singer-songwriter from the East Coast of Canada, and I've been writing music since I was probably 14. and a lot of my songs are about love. My early songs were about crushes and then early relationships and breakups. And then as I matured and started to find other kinds of love that had meaning in my life, I wrote songs about my friends and songs about my family and about the resilient bonds that keep us connected, even across difference and across distance. And then I had my first experiences of loss as an adult. And the way that that transformed the way that I think about love is almost hard to describe. I see loving each other as a courageous act now, because I understand grief to be so connected to love. It wouldn't hurt to lose somebody if we didn't love them so much. And I think it is courageous that we carry on in our lives deciding to love each other unapologetically, knowing that that love is going to yield pain someday. I want to tell you about John. He was incredibly curious and kind and compassionate. He was a deep feeler and a deep thinker. He was a paleoentomologist, which is the study of fossils and fossilized bugs to learn more about the natural world. And he was also a teacher, not in the formal sense, but in the sense that he would come into the home-run preschool that my mom held in our house when we were kids as Grandpa Science, and he would bring owl pellets and chicken eggs and different samples of leaves and roots and mushrooms, and he would show us the joy in discovery. Alongside being a scientist, he was a poet, though he probably wouldn't call himself that, but he did write poetry. And he was a lover of books and a lover of music, particularly folk music and traditional Irish music. He was a letter writer and a journaler. We have 35 years of his journals in our family home that he annotated, like the scientist he was, a couple of years before his death because he wanted to share his world with us. I don't think a lot of people get to say that their grandfather was their best friend, but I think that's true for me in the last 10 years of his life. And so when I got that call, it was devastating. It is still devastating. Grief is funny like that. I'm sure you can hear the tears in my voice. I don't really mind. I think what I try to do with my music is to be the first person in the room to take down my own walls and drop the shield and encourage other people to do the same. I think there's value in getting to connect on a human level. So I try to model that in the way that he taught me. This is a song about grief, but it's a song about love. And it's a joyful song. It is not a sad song. By design, it is not a sad song. It is a celebration of the way that our people shape us.
Two sunbeams on the living room floor. My kid hands disappear into yours as we flip the pages of field guides. Sounding out names of the insects I recognize. Muddy feet in that old valley town. Watch me walk in a black cap and gown. My whole life ahead, yours mostly behind. The both of us dizzy with pride for the way that you shaped me. Like the waves shape the clay on the banks of the Findy. I held to you tightly. But everything changes and everyone leaves. On a winter's day, sunlight streaming in. The dog on the bed and a good fire going. And the music played, chieftains on the bothy band. You took your last breaths to the sound of the bow. And I'll say to you now, as I said to you then, I'm so glad you got a good death. My toes to reach her rocking chair. My favorite brush through her falling out hair. I was too young to recognize the life. Fading out slow like a painting in the sunlight. But you got us with the Irish goodbye. Slipped out the room when nobody was looking. You practiced that move so many times. When you were ready to go, you were just you. Chieftains and the Bathy band, you took like the waves shape the clay on the banks of the Fundy. I held to you tightly, but everything changes and everyone leaves someday. Oh, everything changes and everyone leaves someday. Someday.
Some songwriters do well crossing over into the realm of film and TV. Take Barry Manilow, for example. We all know, great piano player, great singer, great songwriter. But did you know that he wrote the jingle for the State Farm Insurance Company? And then there's Randy Newman, who's composed music for many films, such as The Natural and all of the Toy Stories, in addition to his own solo career. One of my favorite songs from a songwriter who's scored films is one by Katie Lang, Or Was I, from the motion picture Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. Our next guest is a songwriting, film, and TV composer whose work has appeared on HBO and Hulu, ABC, Apple TV. Though he joins us to share some of his lyrical tunes, check out the impressive list at his website, dashhammerstein.com. Dash joins us right now from his home in Brooklyn, New York. This first tune is entitled Paint My Heart, and then Dash sent in a beauty entitled Rolls Royce. It's Dash Hammerstein.
Climbing to the bottom of the sea. Hey, this is Dash Hammerstein, and the question is how I got into composing for film and TV. You know, kind of through a side door. I didn't study it in school. I studied environmental science. I had one job in that field when I got out of school and really didn't have a good time. So fortunately, I had an encounter with a director who needed a piece of music. I've been writing music a long time, and I've been recording just for fun. And I took it on, and I got $500 for it. And so I've sort of just been chasing that feeling since then. It really is a sideways path I took. You know, I worked for an engineer at Electric Lady who really kind of, that experience really taught me about how to arrange and how to mix music and really how to be my own producer. And then I sort of took that skill set to assist a film composer, a guy named T. Griffin, and that was like 8 years ago, and I still work with him today. He does a lot of really great documentary films and just kind of taught me everything I know about scoring for film. The big difference between doing that kind of work and, you know, writing your own song, obviously, is one of them pays you, and the one that pays you gives you notes, and deciphering those notes is most of the job. People don't really give you notes on the music that you write yourself. And if they do, it's easy to write them off because, hey, it's like your vision and your expression. Whereas when you're scoring something, you're trying to get an emotion across that is outside of you. The way those jobs come to me is always different. You know, a lot of commercial jobs come through agencies for which you'll pitch something and they might pay you like a couple hundred dollars as a fee. And then if you get it, you get more. Then sometimes I'm, you know, friends with people in the production, and it's a very casual kind of like, hey, do you have a piece of music that would work for this? And the longer you do this, I think the more comfortable you are with just sending stuff out and expecting nothing in return. Like maybe you get a kill fee, but you just kind of, people ask for stuff and you send it out. And, you know, if it comes back, that's amazing. And one of the benefits of doing this a long time is you do a lot of free work, you end up building out a catalog, and the more you do it, the more ready you are when somebody reaches out with a request. So yeah, just say yes. Thanks.
You can bring half the world to its knees. You can buy anything that you please. You can shoot the moon, pick me up in a new Rolls Royce, and still the sound of your voice would bring me home. You might live in a house by the sea. You might dig through an old memory. You might fall in love, lose control, but you had a choice and you chose the sound of my voice to bring you home.
Thank you.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. It's the Great American Folk Show. I'm Tom Russo. Thanks for listening today. Hey, it is a pleasure to welcome right now on the show the Steep Canyon Rangers. Their new album, Next Act, is their 13th to date and features guest appearances by Edie Raquel and Steve Martin. I'm going to spin one in just a second, and then Barrett Smith from the band will join us for an interview. They're on the road right now. But I love the Steep Canyon Rangers. These hardworking dudes are always doing something new in bluegrass, and their new album reestablishes them as expert tunesmiths and great players. Here's Heart's The Only Compass, featuring Steve Martin on the banjo. It's the Steep Canyon Rangers.
The last passenger to board was a biker in a tank top, while she was hiding out behind her magazine. And the only empty seat was the one right there beside her. 4 hours on that Greyhound bus, bound for New Orleans. She was surprised to find she didn't mind touching shoulders, and the leather that he wore was wild and sweet. Until the day she died, she never told a single soul about that Louisiana night. He swept her off her feet. Tell me, how did we ever get here? History will show we make it up as we go. And the heart's the only compass you can trust. And the way from yours to mine, it never was a straight line. It's a tale of hope, of fear, and love and lust. As my connections and my kin, the products of a shared imagination. And where we stand right now betrays the way it was back then. So we do the best we can based on partial information. And just when we think we're in the clear, I look around and wonder, how the hell did we ever get here? And history will show we make it up as we go. And the heart's the only compass you can trust. And the way from yours to mine, it never was a straight line. It's a tale of hope and fear and love and lust. State of Arizona, hoping that he'll know me at first sight. The DNA kit told a tale I was never meant to hear. And the biker in the tank top's name is Dwight. I'll tell you everything I know, my dear. History will show we make it up as we go. It's the only compass you can trust. In the way from yours to mine, it never was a straight line. It's a tale of hope and fear and love and lust. And all the choices that we make because we must. It's a tale of you and me and them and us.
Barrett Smith, thanks so much for joining the show. You play the upright bass, and I thought it would be fun to hear from you regarding the importance of the upright bass in bluegrass music. What's its role? How do you exercise your own voice in an outfit consisting of mandolin, banjo, dobro, fiddle, and acoustic guitar?
Yeah, wow, that's a good question. People don't normally ask about specifically the bass and its importance. And the bass, as with other kinds of music, it's like foundational. You know, it's kind of like offensive linemen of the band laying down a really strong foundation for everyone else to stand on.
I think playing the bass, there comes an added responsibility. I mean, it's this, you know, fifth or sixth or seventh member of a band. It's this big thing, and, you know, you are the one who has to tote around this big thing. Or some bassists might think it's the other way around. The bass totes you around. How have you made that an easy part of the job over the years?
It's big. There's no question. Yeah, it's a pain, you know, getting it from place to place. It takes up more room than the other instruments, no question. It's pretty cumbersome, like physically, just to carry around, which really comes to bear in the bluegrass band more than in other bands because we move around a lot. We're trained in the school of the, like, crowd around the mic, set one microphone up, you know, don't plug any instruments in, and all work that one microphone. So when you do things that way, you really got to be kind of an organic kind of choreography that develops as far as how to get out of the soloist way and the singer's way. And that's tough for us, especially since I do a lot of singing. Some songs I'm the lead singer and I have that bass. So yeah, it's cumbersome, and you just learn how to walk around with it and not crash into everybody around you with your big old bass body. But we got it down pretty well at this point. We got a decent dance going on, I'd say.
If you're just tuning in, we're on the phone with Barrett Smith of the Steep Canyon Rangers. Barrett, you were raised in Columbia, South Carolina. Rich music scene there. Blues men like Pink Anderson, Reverend Gary Davis, Hootie and the Blowfish, and bluegrass legends that I'm sure you, well, I would imagine you grew up hearing or knowing about, such as Pappy Sherrill, Snuffy Jenkins. It's a college town, tons of influence. Who were some of your local heroes growing up?
Oh, man. Don't get me started. So just right off the bat, the names you mentioned, Pappy Sherrill, Snuffy Jenkins, these are legends of, like, acoustic, of Americana string music. Pappy Sherrill and Snuffy Jenkins, they had the band Snuffy Jenkins and the Hired Hands. Now, Snuffy Jenkins and the Hired Hands, one of the things, it was so old, it was almost like a vaudeville, like, variety show that they did. And one of the acts was a child prodigy banjo player named Randy Lucas. And Randy was a true virtuoso. Really, luckily, I got this direct lineage to that Pappy Sherrill, Snuffy Jenkins banjo player, almost kind of precursor to Earl Scruggs with three-finger banjo style, like a real legend. Columbia was really good to me. I met the right people in the bluegrass world. Columbia was good. Thanks for doing your homework. And people don't normally talk about Columbia, South Carolina, when we do Steep Canyon Rangers interviews. So, all right.
What do you say, Katie May? We'll go down to the church today. Ooh, make it real.
I want to talk about your new album, but how can you not bring up Steve Martin? Plays with you guys on occasion, and you've recorded with him. And he's on your new album, in fact, and so is Edie Brickell, which I think that is really cool. Does it feel like he is a bandmate, or does he feel like he's just kind of like this special guest who joins you every once in a while?
I guess I'd have to say both, but really more of a bandmate in that it's been a long time, this collaboration with Steve. Like, we're close, and there's a lot of love back and forth and a lot of respect and a lot of comfort. So, I mean, obviously, Steve Martin is this iconic, like, world changer, famous artist figure, and that's true, and he has our massive respect and appreciation in that way, just like he has most anybody.
I still find it hard to believe that there are people out there that don't know that Steve Martin is this accomplished banjo player. In fact, he's so accomplished, I would say that he's a banjo player who just also happens to be a comedian and an actor. What unique thing do you think he brings to the table in the band?
Great question. Well, first of all, just to toot Steve's horn as if he needs it from me, but people don't know that he's really his musical side. People might not know that Steve is a novelist. He has written these books and they're really good. Steve is like a really serious art collector. He's a Renaissance man. The music itself, Steve as a composer, is like the thing that's the coolest about Steve. He has a really unique voice in the way he makes music up. And I'm thinking specifically of the instrumental music that he does. It's very beautiful and for my taste, and it's right up my alley. What he writes, to me, it's akin to the world of bluegrass. The real smarty pants world of bluegrass, where you have really awesome compositions from someone like Bela Fleck or Edgar Meyer, Mark O'Connor, somebody like that. Just really smart composition manifesting itself in a bluegrass instrumentation. And Steve also is like really well versed in the two main like American banjo styles, three finger like Earl Scruggs, and then like old time claw hammer banjo, which is just, I mean, not to get too geeky about it, it's just a different style of playing, and Steve does it really well and composes really well in it. Steve's writing is what I appreciate the most.
We've been visiting with Barrett Smith of the Steep Canyon Rangers. Barrett, thank you so much for joining us today. And one last thing, a little favor. I wonder if you wouldn't mind setting up the song that we're going to play off of your new record, Next Act. The song is called Circling the Drain. I love it. It's got this kind of downstroke, little bit of rebel rock to it. Would you set this song up for our listeners?
Yeah. I will. Yeah, this is a song written by Graham Sharp, our banjo player and singer, and it was inspired by the Barbara Kingsolver novel Demon Copperhead, and it's from the new album, which is, among other things, a return to more of a string band sound with less electricity and drums and stuff. This is one of the more rocking songs on the album, but yeah, this is Circling the Drain, sung by Graham Sharp, performed by the Steep Canyon Rangers.
Wonderful interview. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks a lot for doing it so well. I really appreciate it.
One false step is all that you get when you're living out on the edge. Feeling strong as a speeding train, flying full steam ahead of speeding train. Circling the drain, going round and round and down, down, down. But shattered stone. Big pharmacy came to ease that pain like a buzzer to the bleaching bones to ease the pain. Circling the drain. Going round and around and down, down, down. But you grabbed a hold of me and you would not let me go. When all the stars went out, you're the only light that shone. I'm a survivor. Seems all the guys around here die young or else it just peaked too soon. Wind up waiting for the end to come some sunny afternoon. Waiting on the end, watching all my friends going round and around and down, down, down. But you grabbed a hold. Would not let me go. When all the stars went out, you're the only light that shone. What I'm willing to die for is what I'm staying alive for.
show. What I'm willing to die for is what I'm staying alive for. I'm a survivor. Yeah, I'm a survivor.
My new favorite tune is by this guy by the name of John Muirhead, called Loved You Well, and in a moment he's going to set it up for you. But anyone who's paid their dues in music knows that you have to support yourself somehow in the meantime. For instance, take me, for example. I've worked in coffee shops my whole life, Seattle's Best, and also Starbucks in San Diego, California, and I also worked in this neighborhood coffee shop called the Kensington Coffee Company. That was a lot of fun. It served me well working in coffee shops. There's always lots of poets and other musicians and just in general creative types coming in there. I remember after work, I had plenty of caffeine to keep me and the writing going until the wee hours of the morning, and I got a lot done. John Muirhead has got a similar story. He joins us now.
So I used to work for a coffee machine company, Nespresso, and I would sell coffee machines at department stores, travel around to Costco, Canadian Tire, the Bay. I would sell these coffee machines. And I was just getting started in music at the time. It was my side hustle. And I would talk about my music to anyone that would listen, mainly the people who sold the in-store credit cards, like the other non-employee employees. You know, we'd take lunch together. They'd sell me on their credit cards. I'd sell them on my music. It was a great deal. Around the same time, I also met a girl who was very cool, much cooler than me at the time because I wore a chef hat and an apron and traveled to department stores and sold coffee. But we went on a date. She was really, really cool, and I was trying to make myself feel really cool. And it didn't really work. But she'd be like, "What do you do for work?" And I'm like, "I'm in sales, luxury sales." She'd be like, "Well, how was your day?" I'm like, "Ooh, tough meeting with the guys in finance today, let me tell you." She saw right through it. It didn't work out. There was no second date. I was really upset about it because I'd actually called in sick to my Nespresso job to go on this date. It didn't work out, but at least I got a song about unrequited love started around that time. It's a song called Loved You Well. It's about unrequited love, about that longing for connection, about longing for something real. And I'm just so happy with how it turned out. This is a live take of the song, and I hope you absolutely love it. Now, you are hearing a live take of the song, but I want to talk about the studio recording, because the studio recording was such an awesome experience. We had done a lot of production for the record, meaning that we had, you know, tried to find the best possible arrangement and the best possible sounds, and building arrangements with a lot of layers. But for this one, we just recorded it in one day, and we tried to capture the beauty of a performance in a beautiful room, and it turned out so well. I got to give a shout out to Ryan Worsley for producing the track, but also to Clayton White for playing piano, pedal steel, and that low harmony that you hear in there. Shout out Clayton White. We've been touring all across the country together. Clay is awesome. And we just had a blast making it. It was a really special performance that captures something very intimate and raw and very special to me. So I hope it's special to you as well. This is Loved You Well.
Oh, I called in sick to last night's shift, and I took train downtown. From the station I walked several blocks, and I met you at your house. You were all dressed up, I had a t-shirt tucked, and I felt underdressed. I apologized, you were far too kind, I regretted ever mentioning it. We got nowhere to be, the bar down the street's got a good deal of bad wine. So why don't we get a bottle of each and trace back our past lives? Suddenly it's your eyes on me like a big pair of loving spotlights. It's a kiss on the cheek and we're ready to leave. Got the Uber ready waiting outside.
Oh, these are the reasons that I could have loved you well. Oh, these are the reasons that I could have loved you well. Yeah, these are the reasons that I could have loved you well. If it could have worked out, oh, these are the reasons I could have loved you well. I could have loved you. Oh, I woke up humming a new song, something like, darling, here comes the sun. Must have been the morning light. Beside me, I don't really know what it was. But pretty soon it's the afternoon. I think I hung around a little too long. I could see your spotlights fade, it felt so strange. Now I reckon that I better get gone. Oh, these are the reasons that I could have loved you well. Oh, these are the reasons I could have loved. These are the reasons that I could have loved you well. If it could have worked out, oh, these are the reasons I could have loved you well. I could have loved you. I could have loved you well. These are the reasons that I could have loved you well. And nights like these, I believe that it could have worked out. You're somebody else now. These are the reasons I could have loved you well. I could have loved.
After drinks at the bar, did we take it too far? I wanted fast, baby, you wanted free. I hit the gas and then you took the lead. For a few miles we were driving on, yeah, you were pining on me. I wanna be all that you need. Just black and white, you're everything, everywhere, all of the time. Your colors filling my eyes, you're everything, everywhere, all of the time. And I know how it used to be, darling, you brought out the best in me. You're everything, everywhere, all of the time.
Ooh, don't think I'll ever get back to those days, lying in bed with your hand on my face. Now we're breaking up on a bus to LA. Didn't make it too far. I wanna go back to the start. No longer just black and white. You're everything, everywhere, all of the time. Your colors filling my eyes. You're everything, everywhere, all of the time. And I
everything, everywhere. It's raining in Paris, you're back at home. I get so embarrassed, I drink alone. Passed out on a metro, I lost my phone. I dream that you miss me, I wanna go back to the start. Longer, just black and white. You're everything, everywhere, all of the time. Your colors filling my eyes. You're everything, everywhere, all of the time. And I know how it used to be. Darling, you brought out the best in me. Even when you're out of sight, you're everything, everywhere, all of the time. Everywhere, all of the time. You're everything, everywhere, all of the time.
And that's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank our guests. The infamous String Dusters were on the program. Malia Rogers.
Dash Hammerstein.
And the Steep Canyon Rangers. And, of course, our final artist on the show was John Muirhead. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. I'm Tom Brousseau. May you always find that lucky old sun until we meet again.